This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day as we're set to talk with one of our favorite college football experts here on The Fan, Danny Cannell, brought to you by Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated college football playoff, conference, Heisman, and college football week 8 lines. We're heading for a big one as Danny joins us now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I am phenomenal. It is great catching up with you again, Gavin. I cannot wait for this weekend. You know, last weekend was such a high bar because these two weekends and these, you know, a couple of these games are games that have been circled for, you know, 6 months, a year when we start looking out ahead. And last weekend was just fireworks everywhere, and it was awesome football. I think we get more of the same this weekend. I mean, college football, we are right in the thick of it. And it has delivered once again, and I am so amped up to talk about this Texas-Georgia game. Cannot wait.
Yeah, buddy, the entertainment value through the roof. Now, that line's grown from 3.5 to 5 throughout the course of this week. Do you agree with the bettors coming in here heavy on the Longhorns?
So I'd like the Texas Longhorns to win, but I also think it could play out much like we saw two heavyweights going toe-to-toe last week in Oregon and Ohio State, that this could be a closer game, like a field goal type game. So I know this may feel like a cop-out on in Texas, you know, hey, is he just trying to play both sides? I think the value resides in Georgia, where they're undervalued. And I'll tell you why, because Georgia, you know, they lost to Alabama, which is, you know, and it was a game that kind of unfolded crazily. They looked awful in the first half, which the, you know, a lot of people watched that, and watched Carson Beck, their quarterback, struggle. Last week, they struggled against Mississippi State, who's one of the worst teams in the SEC. They gave up 31 points. It's like, ooh, Georgia does not look right coming into this game. And then on the flip side, you've got Texas coming off a dominant win against Oklahoma in the Red River. You've got them already beating Michigan on the road. But I would just have a word of caution that I don't know if Texas has been tested like they're going to be tested against Georgia. And I'm, you know, one of the things I'm really keeping an eye on is Isaiah Bond, that injury and his, you know, kind of injury report every day watching him. Is he 100%? Is he good to go? He is such a difference maker in this offense that I do think he could have a massive impact. And I think everything has been good, which may be one of the reasons so much money is coming in on the Texas Longhorns. But I do think the value's on Georgia. This is still a team that has won two national championships. They've played in big games before. They're not going to be overwhelmed by the crowd. And I do think Carson Beck is – it's him and Quinn Ewers probably playing for potentially who's the first quarterback taken in the NFL draft next year. And I give the edge to Quinn Ewers, clearly, for what, you know, how consistent he's been and for how he won last year in Alabama and this year in Michigan. But Carson Beck is more than capable for going toe-to-toe with Quinn Ewers shot for shot. So I'm very curious to see how this game plays out. I think it's close. It's down the wire. I do think Texas wins. But I kind of like Georgia with the points.
Where do you think Georgia does have an advantage, if at all? Because it feels like Texas is as well-rounded a team, and Georgia oftentimes has the advantage in the trenches, but Texas seems to have that pretty much locked down this year. So where do you think Georgia actually has an advantage?
So if at all? So I don't think there clearly are not many advantages at all. I would say that Texas's weakness, if you will, is their secondary. Mm-hmm. And so that's what concerns me. And that's why I do think this will probably be a higher scoring game because, you know, we've got, you know, great offensive mind in Sark. You've got so much firepower on the offensive side of the ball for Texas. I think they'll be able to score against Georgia. Pretty much everybody has. This is the difference, though. I think this is the best quarterback that Texas has faced all year. You know, last week against Oklahoma, it's Michael Hawkins. It's in his second start. Michigan, it was Davis Warren, who, you know, has since been benched. You know, he hasn't been that good. And again, this will be the best quarterback that they face. So I don't know if it's an edge, but I would say that's the area that I think Georgia can have some success against, which again is why I think this game will be higher scoring, much like we saw with Ohio State, Oregon. The Texas secondary is what I'm worried about. Now, of course, that can be neutralized by a pass rush and with crowd noise and all the things that Texas is going to be, bring to the table with guys like Colin Simmons, who's been just as good a freshman as any of these wide receivers. Like wide receivers, Ryan Williams, Jeremiah Smith, they get so much attention because they're on offensive highlights, right? They make so many big plays. But Colin Simmons has been just as strong and just as impressive as a freshman for the Longhorns than anybody in the country as a freshman.
Now, you mentioned Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers maybe competing to be the first pick in the draft. Does that mean you're not buying Shedeur Sanders here?
No, I think that's going to be absolutely going to be a part of the equation. I like Shedeur a lot, and even maybe more so than I did last year, especially just watching last week's game unfold for him. So he was without Travis Hunter for a lot of the game. He lost another one of his top receivers in Horn, I think it was, who went out. And he still was out there making plays. And once again, he's been behind an offensive line, which has struggled to protect him. He was sacked 6 times against Kansas State. And yet he still has his team in a position to win. You know, he has more on his shoulders than Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers do, because he doesn't have as much talent around him. He doesn't have the defense that they have, so he has to do more. I just think that Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers have top-tier arms. That's the one thing about Shedeur. He makes a lot of throws. I think he's outstanding. I think he's a first-round pick. I do think he doesn't have the top-tier arm strength that a couple of these other guys do, but he will absolutely be in that conversation. And they might, similar to last year where we saw this run of quarterbacks in the top 12 picks, I think it could be these three guys could potentially go in the top 10 as well.
Danny, is the Alabama-Tennessee game the loser in that game and eliminated from the playoffs?
You're going to hear that a lot. And I think the answer you're going to get from a lot of people is yes. Like, oh, it's an elimination game. The only thing I would caution against is they do play in the SEC, and I still think 10-2 gets you in, right? Mm. But if, like, let's say Alabama, let's say they lose on the road at Tennessee. Like, why did they lose? And to me, it's like continued issues on the defensive side of the ball. So if that's the case, that to me says, well, the likelihood that they go 10-2 becomes that much tougher to overcome. So, like, they have to play Missouri, who's got, an okay passing game. But then they have LSU on the road in Baton Rouge. And I would say Garrett Nussmeier, if Tennessee's able to throw on them, then I think Garrett Nussmeier and LSU will absolutely have a field day against that defense. So, like, I think it's elimination game from the perspective of this team may not be as good as we thought they were. And so, therefore, they might finish 9-3, which is definitely an elimination game. But, like, I don't think 10-2 means you're out. So I think it's an elimination game, but I don't think it's the end of the world. I just think it makes your odds, like, exponentially, that much more challenging to get there.
Danny Cannell with us here in the G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. What are you thinking about the Aggies there? They've really found themselves after losing to Notre Dame. They blow out Mizzou. And looking at their schedule the rest of the way, I'm kind of thinking they could come in with that Texas matchup just having that one loss.
So you'll appreciate this, Gavin, because I thought I was a genius before the season. I was looking at Texas A&M, and I was like, this is the dark horse team in this SEC. And a lot of it was because of their schedule, and a lot of it was because of what I...
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I had heard about Connor Wegman, being this quarterback that was really going to thrive in Colin Klein's system, and he was going to take that next step. And then, of course, they lose to Notre Dame, and Connor Wegman looks awful in that game. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to look like an idiot. And then I kind of just forgot about him. I was like, well, they'll figure things out. And then to add insult to injury, I thought Marcel Reed was the difference maker in that offense. I'm like, man, I don't think they should play Connor Wegman, even if he's healthy. But as typically goes, coaches know best. They know the locker room. They know practice. They know, you know, leadership intangibles. And when Mike Elko decided to go back to Connor Wegman, I was genuinely in shock. I was like, there's no way he can go back. But he did. And boy, is he glad, and Texas A&M faithful, glad he did, because you talk about a pressure-packed game. Connor Wegman knew what would happen if he didn't play well. He knew the Bouverds would come out. He knew his job, he'd probably get benched, and he knew kind of what the reaction would be. And that was the best version of Connor Wegman that I have seen, even better than what I expected. And as you mentioned, the schedule sets up really, really nice. You know, Mississippi State, one of the worst teams in the SEC, they played this weekend. LSU at home. I think LSU is a good team. I don't put them on the same category. I think Texas A&M could have as much success against them as they did against Missouri. Maybe LSU scores a few more points, but I still think Texas A&M should win that one comfortably. On the road at Auburn, you know, that game doesn't really concern me for them, or South Carolina. And then, of course, it boils all down to that Texas game, which is really interesting here, because I want to play out a scenario for you. Let's say that Texas beats Georgia this weekend, which I think they do. I think Georgia covers, but Texas wins. And Texas is undefeated coming in that game against A&M in College Station. And the Aggies are in a spot where they're one loss. And, you know, if they win that game, they're all of a sudden – they might not get to the SEC championship game. They might, depends on how a lot of these tiebreakers unfold. But if they lose that game, they might be out of the playoffs. What does Texas do in that scenario? Where does that game mean the same for Texas? You know what I mean? Like, it's, of course it means a ton because it's a rivalry game. But, like, the more important game would be the SEC championship game if they're locked into that game as only undefeated in the conference. And, you know, if the Aggies are there, I'd have to see some of the tiebreakers. Like, clearly, I hope it means, you know, one is eliminated from the SEC championship game so you get their best shot. But what if in a scenario where Texas, what if they want to rest guys or they want to take guys and make sure they're fully healthy for the SEC championship game? And maybe there's potentially even a rematch on the line between these two teams. Like, what unfolds there, I think, is a really interesting dynamic in that game. I got way too long-winded on you, Gavin, but I think Texas A&M is that dark horse team, and I think they're going to end up with that one loss heading into that Texas game.
It's all good. Danny Cannell here with you in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, and that is a fascinating scenario. I don't imagine the Longhorns taking their foot off the pedal in any matchup for even a second.
Right? It's crazy.
Against the Aggies.
You can't even think about it.
I mean, with so much on the line, it is an interesting dilemma to be in. Now, I don't want to bring up old stuff, Danny, but, you know, with Shador moving on to the league and Shiloh probably as well, and I know Mike Norvell is under contract for a while, but are you ready to have Deion take over Florida State at some point in the future?
You know, it's interesting because there is definitely a faction of Florida State fans who I think are off their rocker, who are pounding the table for that move specifically to happen. The reality of the situation is Mike Norvell has $74 million left on his contract, right?
Yeah.
And unlike the Aggies, unlike A&M, we don't have the oil money backers to come in and cut a check that's that large. I think it's a couple things. Clearly, Florida State has fallen short of expectations. I don't think this is the only time we will ever see a team that has really high expectations, that buys a bunch of players in the portal, that tries to put, you know, bring these together in the perfect scenario and is high expectations. And then the season kind of comes and falls apart on them because it's just really hard to develop that continuity. And when you do sign a portal quarterback like Florida State did, it scares off some other guys that potentially where you don't have as much depth. I think that's why Florida State had to stick with DJU for so long. I do think Brock Glenn will bring a spark to this offense, but I also think there's more of a tendency for players to throw in the towel that are hired guns as opposed to guys who played together, bled together, sweat together, off seasons, come in together as freshmen, and it's their senior year, and they're going to fight no matter what. I think there's more of a tendency for guys to throw in the towel. I don't think Florida State has done that at the start of games, but a couple games, SMU back into that game, it sure looked like a couple of those players were like, man, I'm done. This isn't my night, and just shut it down. And then it's like the recipe for the wheels coming disastrously off the way they have for Florida State. I still think they're fighting at the end, but I'm not worried about Mike Norvell yet. although the noise is getting a lot louder because of Florida State's expectations. Yeah. I still am very much a believer in Mike Norvell, though.
My final question, if you're the Cowboys, who are really struggling, speaking of the wheels coming off, would you take the running back out of Boise State, Ashton Gentry, there in the first round?
Absolutely. He is a special back. And, you know, I know he doesn't play at the same level of competition. And I do think that should matter for the Heisman Trophy race, which is why I have other guys ahead of him. But for the NFL specifically, this dude might be the best back we've seen in a couple years. He is a powerful back. He can catch it out of the backfield. Does kind of remind me of Bijan Robinson, somebody you guys know pretty well in the state of Texas, who played for the Longhorns. He is dynamic. And one of my favorite things about him is if you watch him play, you got to watch his stance in the backfield, because he's about as chill and like just standing up straight. Like he's almost standing like if he's just standing on a street corner. And then all of a sudden he takes the ball and he like rockets out of there. He is so much fun to watch. He's explosive. I think he will be the top running back taken off the board when he comes out.
Thank you, Danny. Enjoy the games and we'll catch up with you soon.
You got it, Gavin. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the games.
Cheers, buddy. There he goes. Danny Cannell talking college football here with us, brought to you by Bet Online.
Big fan. Got that last one right.
Yeah, he sure did, man. Salute to him.
And there is a breakdown CBS Sports has of Ashton Gentry compared to some of the other backs that have come out of the draft in recent memory. We might be able to break that down later on in the program.
Eric, if I call him the next Barry Sanders, will you pay attention?
No, he's not going to care.
Yeah, I've heard that one before, bro.
6 o'clock, I'll bring that up.
I just want to make sure that if every back I call the next Barry Sanders, it'll get your attention.
I do like what Danny's saying about his stance, though.
Oh, it's Michael Myers back there.
He is, dude. He just stands up straight. Yeah. He doesn't, like, running backs usually have their hands, like, on their knees in, like, a ready athletic position or whatever.
Did you watch the Lions last week?
He just stands. Jahmyr Gibbs is the same way.
Gibbs just stands straight up and then just
Gibbs kinda got it from Gentry. Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah, because he's never done that before.
Yeah.
I did not see him do that at Alabama. I have not seen him do that so far in the NFL.
I was curious. I was going to ask Broadus and obviously you too, Wolchek, with all the film that you guys watch, is that something that is happening or is this a very new style with these running backs?
It's not something I'd seen before Gentry.
It's a new aesthetic.
Yeah,
I like it.
I know Wolchuk's top 10's coming up next. What's the subject matter, buddy?
Big day, National Pasta Day, Eric. Top 10 best pasta dishes in the U.S. of A. And let's relive some audio of Cowboys Pass. That's next.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.